Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, big town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brian behind the glass, and it's a Monday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Hope everybody had a great weekend. NFL regular season is over. It's playoff time, which made me think. We are now one full NFL season away from us winning our bet against Joe. Have you been paid?
No, have not.
Full calendar year. Full calendar year.
Yeah, crazy. Two results in the books. You're right. We've seen the result 2 years in a row. We actually could have gotten two bets out of this. But, yeah, it's and then even when we had him on the air, he didn't want to succumb to the pressure of admitting to what we've been told, but he won't pay up.
Oh, yeah, he was gaslighting. Oh, well, they're griping about it. How about you just pay? We won't gripe. That's gaslighting to a T. So, yeah, one calendar year has went by, and Joe George has not paid his bet. Don't let him forget that, Hive. Don't let Joe forget that. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Lots to get to today. Mailbag Monday. Game balls coming off of Week 18 in the NFL season. Reggie Jackson, the baseball version. So out of touch with baseball. And Amit Thompson did some things on the basketball floor after he returned from a suspension. But the first thing that we're going to talk about, obviously, the Texans. Texans getting the triumphant victory, the huge win yesterday. They were able to even the series with the Tennessee Titans. They split the two games this year with the road team winning each one. But one thing that I noticed listening to this and listening to the post game stuff with D'Amico, with Stroud, with all the players in the locker room, just hearing the the sound bites and things like that, it's very clear that the message to the team is that hey, we got our swagger back, we got our confidence back, the vibes are feeling good yet again. D'Amico's smiling, C.J. Stroud is smiling, Damian Pierce is running over the football field, the confidence is very high. So, like, I think the question you have to ask yourselves and Hive, 713-780-3776, is whenever they're sending that message, well, did it actually happen? Did the Texans really rediscover their swagger, so to speak?
I got my swagger back. Oh.
That was live on the field yesterday. C.J. Stroud immediately after the game talking about having that swagger and thinking that it was coming back. I saw it in the Chronicle. Jonathan Alexander had a story. The Texans got their swagger back, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think that the Houston Texans got their swagger back?
I don't, simply because of the fact that all year, every time I think that this team has figured stuff out or looks like it could be doing things to be on an upward trajectory, they fall apart right in front of our faces, whether it's injuries or shooting themselves in the foot. And for me, there's been too many of these situations where we talk about this type behavior of they got their swagger back, or they've got, they're figuring things out. Or, we're going to work on things and now we're actually putting it together. Because when it happens against bad teams, Tennessee is an awful team. Jacksonville's been a bad team all year. The teams that you're getting right against, New England, are not teams that can actually register with you to say they got their swagger back. Now, do I feel like that was good for them to at least have a series where CJ was on point and Joe Mixon ran the ball well and Nico was catching the ball? Do I think that that was a step in the right direction and that they can feel good about that? Yes, but until they do it against a formidable foe, and now you don't have any other games on your schedule but to do it when it matters most, that means nothing to me.
Well, how's it a step in the right direction then? Like, if it means nothing to you...
Because swagger is different than at least progress, right? I think you're swagging and you feel swagger when you've got Big Mo on your side and you're walking in basically feeling like, you know what? We got this. We're in a great spot. it's different than at least making the progress of CJ not having happy feet and unloading the ball and getting crushed and not being, you know, not being able to do things you're supposed to be able to do with your offensive line. So I think they are two different things.
Okay. I don't think that they have this swagger back. I don't think that, one, you did it nearly long enough for it to happen. Like, yeah, you had a good drive against a really bad team who, quite frankly, was hoping that they lost. Because if they lost and the Patriots won, then they get the number one pick. And, Allah, what happened? That's what happened. They lost, Patriots won. So right now, Cam Ward is the Vegas favorite to be the Tennessee Titan quarterback next year. So the Titans had incentive, really, to lose that game. I'm not saying the players threw it or anything like that, but do I think the Titans were up for that game? No. Did you see the crowd? That was like 25% full. I think that was Tennessee paying homage to how the Houston fans felt when Bud Adams was moving the team away from Houston. Because I went to a few Oilers games their final year in Houston, and they had about 15% of the capacity of the Astrodome. It was much like that in Tennessee yesterday. So it was nice of the faithful there in Nashville to pay homage to the final year of the Oilers in the city of Houston by not showing up to the game. But it was cold. It was snowy. Do I think the Titans were at all motivated and ready for that? No, and not at all. Not at all. So how much stock do I put in the fact that C.J. Stroud went 6-for-6 and threw a touchdown pass to Nico Collins? Almost none. Almost none. Like, it's better to see that than to see 0-for-6 and 2-3 and outs, right? Like, that's what you wanted to see. But how much value does it actually carry? For me, it carries almost no value. And then the whole, like, confidence thing, I hope. Like, I can't put myself in their shoes and put my feet in the shoes of C.J. Stroud and be like, yep, I'm super confident now. So I hope it helped. But I wasn't, like, over the moon about what I saw yesterday.
No, I mean, because it's more frustration that has built throughout the entire season than all of a sudden being able to take one meaningless game against a worthless team to say that they suddenly now have what it takes to go on a run and be one of the best teams in football. That's why it's been so frustrating all year. The talent is there. You know that on both sides of the football, there are really, really good football players. But every time that we think this team, they beat Buffalo, they beat a really good team early in the season. That's a great signature type win. But then they lose games they're not supposed to lose. They lose in ways that they're not supposed to self-destruct. And yes, injuries come along the way, but that happens for everybody, to the point where you go, you know what? It's more frustration than the belief that they can suddenly flip a switch and turn it around and all of a sudden have swagger. You should have had that throughout, you know, especially in the second half of the season.
Well, I think that they got beat up so much that they lost that swagger. Like, you lose a home game to the Titans. You don't play well against New York. You get absolutely destroyed against Baltimore. Like, that's how you lose that, right? Because I think that swagger is synonymous with confidence, right? It's a cool way of saying that I'm confident. Mm-hmm. I think that they lost a lot of that confidence.
Oh, yeah, I think that's right. But I think that it's one thing, like, again, the Titans type games or the games where you're supposed to win that you don't win. We did that a year ago, and we could rattle off those three games, you know, in our sleep about, you know, the teams that they were supposed to beat and dominate, and they didn't. And it's one thing to say, yeah, injuries got the best of them, and or, you know, these things happened in a one-score game, and so you just have to deal with it. But a lot of it was self-inflicted, and that's what was so frustrating about the fact that it continued all year long.
Yeah, here was C.J. Stroud after the game with Amanda Rory McIlroy asking C.J. Stroud about the game, and here was Stroud's response.
Grateful to be out here, man. Glory to God for the opportunity to play this great sport. So it felt good, you know, just to get that our mojo back, you know, going into the playoffs.
Mojo back. Did Stella get her groove back yesterday in Nashville?
I think I got my swagger back.
Again, live listen to CJ. That was literally CJ Stroud talking to the fans at Tennessee. I don't even remember what they call that stadium. Do you remember what they call the stadium in Tennessee?
It's,
I don't know.
It's Nissan now, isn't it?
Is it? Okay, so that was CJ Stroud talking to the fans at Nissan. That was during the end of the fourth quarter when Davis Mills is in the game. He's talking about, you know, his swagger being back. Yeah, but and we just had a texter say that it doesn't matter as long as the players believe it. That's fair. I think that's a really good point. Like, it is psychological, it is mental when you talk about confidence and you talk about swagger. So a lot of this is really guesswork. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's also like D'Amico playing psychologist a little bit. Like, okay, we haven't played our best football. Okay, we got hammered on Christmas Day. We got shut out offensively. The only 2 points we scored were with when our defense got a safety after Baltimore was pinned back deep. I think D'Amico has the right mindset here for what it's worth. I think that his head's in the right spot of, like, we need to get our players believing in themselves again. I think it's critical if you want to win at least one playoff game, which, you know, you're going to be playing the San Diego Chargers coming up on Saturday, which is the Texans Invitational. So I don't even fault DeMeco. Like, I don't fault the players for trying to get their mindset there. Mm-hmm. But whenever you ask the fans the question, do you believe that they're actually confident? For me, I think it's a load of BS, quite frankly.
Yeah, I agree. I just think that, you know, it's the whole, you know, fool me once, shame, you know, and fool me twice. Like, we've been fooled so many times into thinking, well, this is the time that they actually figure it all out and they put it all together, offense, defense, special teams, and all the different ways that they found ways to kind of self-destruct. And this will be the time that, you know, now they got it back. There's no doubt. As long as the guys in the locker room have a belief that when the lights are the brightest, the stage is the biggest, and the games matter the most, that they can win, that's a good thing. But from a fan base perspective, no one should be tricked into believing that this time is the final time, and they've really got it this time.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Busy show. It's a Monday, after all. It's also Black Monday in the NFL. A couple of coaches that have been fired. We'll discuss that. A couple of coaches that have been kept on, which might be interesting, but always an eventful day, to say the least, on the first Monday after the regular season in the NFL. Mailbag Monday coming up later. Amin Thompson. What can Amin Thompson bring to this Houston Rocket team? And Reggie Jackson, so out of touch with life. Game balls, plenty to get to. It's a Monday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. You want to get involved in the show? You can. 713-780-ESPN, the HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're also on Twitter at ESPN 975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Did the Texans get their swagger back yesterday? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brian has me confused with this rejoin. Football time in Houston and the Texans are ready to play. It's playoff time in Houston. The Texans are ready to play. Look, they won a wild card round last year.
Pump you guys up after that first segment. It's playoff time, baby.
I do like this song. I think
you are
in the
minority
there.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I admit that. It's okay. You don't need to be. The majority doesn't mean right.
I mean, just drives you smooth, huh?
The song drives me smooth?
Yeah.
No, I think it lifts me up.
Well, you know that story, right?
It makes me exciting. Oh, you're talking about when he yelled at this guy
the bus driver. Yeah. Just drive me smooth, MF-er.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but yeah, that's a good point. No, the song does fire me up. The song does get me in a good mood. It makes me ready to run through a wall, swarm. It's playoff time in Houston. Did the Texans get their swagger back yesterday? 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Headline in the Chronicle, Houston Chronicle. You have to differentiate between the two because they're two different entities, Houston Chronicle and Chronicle. Houston Chronicle, Texans rediscover their swagger and win over Titans. Is it enough for the playoffs?
I got my swagger back.
That was, again, live. That was mic'd up. C.J. Stroud late in the fourth quarter watching his boy Davis Mills do his thing. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Big C, what mojo? In all capital letters, it was the Titans. It was also the Titans in a down year. Like, this was a down year even for the Titans' sakes. Cole on the YouTube, hard for me to believe. They believe they got their swagger back off of one good first drive against an awful Titans team. I'm with you. Like, the players need to think that. The coach needs to send the message, but I can also be like, yeah, I'm not buying it. Texter, no. They played a team that is playing for a top pick in the weakest division in football. Are you kidding me? San Diego is probably top six offensive teams in the NFL. I don't know about that. The Texans will be crushed, unfortunately. Do I think they should mix up Mixon and Pierce a little bit to throw the Chargers off and maybe even Mills up? Oh, man, this guy's off the rails. The next game on and off, yes. If Houston doesn't throw the ball 30 times, they'll be beat by at least 14 points. Do you want to see Davis Mills in the AFC wildcard game on Saturday afternoon? 713-780-3776. Wow. Little Davis Mills.
And Pierce. I mean, look, and Pierce is
that would just really keep the Chargers off balance if you throw Davis Mills into the game.
I mean, what are we going to do? Davis Mills is in San Diego on the text line. I mean, they're all dialing it in. I kind of like that part, though.
That part's kind of funny.
But let's, from a reality standpoint, look, Pierce had a really good game against the B team, and he is the B team. But if you want to see what he can do from time to time, I'm fine with that, to take a little bit of the punishment off of Joe Mixon, depending on how Joe's playing, too. But the Davis Mills thing, that's just absolutely ludicrous.
I thought he played okay yesterday. You know, maybe you could trade him for a fifth or sixth round pick. Yeah, I thought he looked all right.
Yeah, no, I don't look. I think as backups go, and they're not one of those teams that's paying, you know, exorbitant amounts of money for a backup quarterback or more than most. I think Davis Mills would be just fine as a backup for next year and beyond if you needed him to do that. You know, if some team wants to throw something at you to go get him, come take him.
Yeah, yeah, a little package deal. Bobby Slowick got an interview for the Jets job. Maybe he's selling Woody Johnson on bringing Davis Mills to New York and being the answer for the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Let's go out to the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Oh, okay, Keith didn't want to hang out. Didn't want to hang out long enough with the Killer Bees. He probably read the writing on the wall, because the note that I was given is that Keith wanted to know why we're so negative on the Texans. He probably started to read the room there a little bit. Mm-hmm. Texter, with all that being said, back-to-back division titles, Coach Ryan, back-to-back 10-win seasons in a second year, the quarterback in a second year. Watch out when they beat L.A. next week. Couple of emojis. They have a home game next week in the playoffs. That's energy they are supposed to have. Let's go. Yeah, I'm not mad at them for the energy. No. I'm just wondering if they actually believe it.
Well, and I think that you have to be realistic. I mean, that's what we've always tried to do. But realistically, looking at this team, if everybody saw what a lot of the fans are trying to believe that they're seeing right now, then they wouldn't be a home underdog. And you look at this and you say you wouldn't have, you know, the national media, you know, picking the Chargers already. Rex Ryan going out there and saying basically he said the Chargers have a bye coming up to play the Texans. I mean, that's embarrassing. That's a kick in the groin. That's not what you're supposed to be if you're well-respected and that everybody believes what you want to believe about this team.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like,
I didn't say it matters. I'm just saying the perception.
You said it was a kick in the gut, you know?
I mean, that's – from a fan base perspective, yeah, there were people very upset by that. And that's you know, that's not the team that they think – that they see if they believe that they got their mojo back and they're ready to go on a run. I hope they beat the Chargers. I think they're a more talented team than the Chargers. But do right now, the way both teams have played in the last stretch of four or five games of the season, do I believe that they're better than the Chargers? No.
Davis Mills should start on Saturday. He looked good yesterday. He reminded me of Eli Manning when he went on those Super Bowl runs. I think this is a different texture. I think that this texture is now trolling.
It has to be trolling.
Which is kind of funny. I actually appreciate the troll. I admire it. Mills, question mark, go ahead and activate Keenum and throw him in. Now, if you want to win a game, that's a good idea. He can come right off the bench and lead you to a playoff victory. He does have some magic. We saw what happened with the Vikings. Stephon Diggs, Minneapolis Miracle.
Miracle, yeah.
Yeah, so he does have a little bit of magic. Hear me out. Like the game that our defense scored 2 points only. Why didn't we put Mills in if CJ's off the whole game? Just let him sit and see if Mills can do any better. Because you're trying to get your swagger back from one CJ Stroud. Texter, yes, they did get their swagger back. Whooping on them while they were wearing our Houston blues helps with getting our confidence moving in the right direction. Okay.
I think I got my swagger back.
Two different ways to take this. The first one, the Houston wearing the Houston Oilers uniform. I think I'm over it. Like it did not register for me at all. Like them wearing that was like it really was. I thought it was sad and pathetic. Like they're getting hammered, they're getting destroyed. They want to lose the game. There's nobody there to watch them. It felt. Like it just didn't feel right. Like it to me, it was almost pathetic. Like I felt bad for Mrs. Amy.
We talked about it last week. It just reeked of desperation, right? You're as you said. I mean, you can't even get fans to come to your games anymore the rest of the season because you're so off everyone's radar that your last grasp at trying to do something that's newsworthy is to start using all your social media accounts to over. Market the fact that you are going to wear these uniforms against the team that used to wear these uniforms like you're some badass. No, you're an embarrassment. And this is, you know, last year when they did it, when there was a little more fire behind it and, you know, and Hannah was more involved in it, was it more noticeable as a Houston Texans fan? Yeah, but I'm with you. I mean, yesterday, I really don't care anymore because the Texans have bigger fish to fry and higher aspirations and they're going to the postseason, whereas the Tennessee Titans are going home, and yeah, their big win was they got the number one overall pick. Now, what they do with it and who they get and how that pans out, good luck to you.
Yeah, and then the second part of that is I don't think that the Houston Texans players care at all. Like, we might – there might be some of us in the city that have deep roots and have watched Houston football here for a very long time that still get bothered by that. And I used to be that guy. I just don't care anymore. Like, to me, it's run its course. To me, it's been done. It's been done too many times. I'm over it. But there's still probably Houston fans in the city that don't like it. We just had a few texts that way. Mm-hmm. But the players – The players weren't even born yet, right? Like, no. They hear the history, but they don't have any sort of emotional connection to it.
I think the best way to back that statement that you just made up is when Aziz came over from Tennessee and they talked to him about it. He basically was nonchalant about the fact that, I mean, we knew about it, but he made no bones about the fact that it wasn't a big deal to them. They understand that it was a big deal to the owner as she operates her team, but overall he just basically kind of echoed that to go, yeah, I mean, we understood it was kind of a big deal for the owner, but it wasn't anything that the players were thinking about. The players still want to win. But they want to win every game.
Yeah. Nobody was there, but it was on Red Zone and on national media. J.J. Watt called him out on it. He's a former player. He relates to players more than we do. I think that's Watt taking up for the city more than anything else. I don't think that the current Houston Texans, I don't think Watt cared that much, but I think that he likes to take a shot at Tennessee because he knows that his bread is buttered in Houston a bit. But that was kind of funny how CBS did him a solid and like did the studio report just so he could comment on the game in Houston. Like that was pretty well done there, CBS. That was kind of calculated.
That was cool, and the fact that he was tweeting about it and then actually going at people that went at him about tweeting about it was like, yeah, I don't think that – I mean, as much as J.J. is a marketing machine and he's very intelligent in the way he plays his cards in that regard, I do feel like he does, because of his connection to the city, I think he gets it enough to have a little bit more interest than most. But I think, to your point, I don't think the players in the locker room currently care.
Mills wanted to recreate the Rosencopter. That was a gnarly-looking landing there by Davis Mills. That was rough-looking.
Really sticking your neck out.
Hilarious. Grade the joke. 713-780-3776. I thought it was good. I give it a 9.9, Brian.
Yeah, and I was actually nodding along in appreciation. I wouldn't go 9.9 because I can't give out nearly perfect scores, but let's say 9.1.
9.1. It was 9.1 for 9-9 you, 9.9 for me.
Yeah.
Grade the joke. 713-780-3776.
I don't care.
I give it a 9.9 again. I thought it was excellent. Well played. I think it was reading the room. I think it was very pertinent to what we were talking about. 9.9. Another texture, a win is a win, especially in Nashville. Is it, though? Is it? And also, doesn't matter. Now, I will say, and we talked about this a little bit last week, 10-7 looks way better than 9-8. I'm doubling down. I'm 100 times like hotter about this today than I was last week. 10-7 feels way better than 9-8. Losing that game, even with your second stringers for 3.5 parts of it, and you're going into the wild card 9-8, that does not feel as good as 10-7 does. Yesterday's game meant nothing. The confidence, whatever. But 10-7 looks better than 9-8.
I agree, simply because if nothing else, There's a 10-win team on the other side that's not going to the playoffs. And you would have been used as the example as to, you know, there's a team in the AFC that only won 9 games, but they won their division, so they got in. And the Seahawks won 10 games, and they're not a playoff team. And, you know, and point that out. Now, at least you won 10 games. Double-digit wins is a big thing. We knew the schedule was tougher this year. So to win the division and win 10 games, you're right. If they had only won 9 games, there'd been a lot more finger pointing.
Another texture, Vegas doesn't think so. The Texans are plus 8,000 to win the Super Bowl. That's not great. I saw like 1.6% chance, said the computers. A texture, man, it sure is great to hear you guys back on the airwaves. Go kiss somebody else's tail, texture. Acknowledge your tribal chief tonight. Where are your tribal chiefs? Right here on ESPN.
Acknowledge me!
Why don't you acknowledge us? 0794. You don't need to wait for tonight. Acknowledge us, your tribal chiefs. Both of us sit at the head of the table. Another
texter. Can't both sit at the head of the table. That's
there's
not how
two
that
heads.
Works.
There's no, two heads.
Yeah,
there's
no,
the top
is...
head. There's the bottom head.
Well, top head, bottom head. What are you talking about?
There's two heads of the table.
Pause. Oh, okay. I see what you're. No. There's only one
there
head
is.
Of the table. Only.
What's
only
the
one...
other side?
I disagree. Not to blame the table.
Is this something to do with wrestling?
Yes. Okay. There's a match tonight on the for the debut of Raw on Netflix where there's a match to decide who is the tribal chief. So.
It's in L.A.?
It is in L.A. at the Intuit Dome, yes.
Yeah, so acknowledge us, though. They're going to beat L.A. and have a shot against the Chiefs. Maybe. We'll see. I think they're underdogs against the Chargers. I think they will beat the Chargers, and I think that they have a chance to beat any team that they play. But I also think that they can very easily lose to the Chargers, so we'll see. Plenty of time to talk about that this week. Key from L.A., 9-9 for the dad joke master. So Key from L.A., grading very well. Another texture, 9-9 epic fell, LOL. Not quite enough mills. Another texture, yes, double-digit wins are way better than single digits. Just ask Joy Taylor. Okay.
That was the first of what probably will not be the last.
Yeah, a lot of talk.
Especially
about
when,
that.
When you mentioned the head of the table and the never mind.
There's, grade the joke 713-780-3776. I give it another 9-9. Really good. Well done.
You're patronizing me a lot in 2025.
If the Titans would have lost the last game, would they still have the number one draft pick? I don't think so, right? Like if they would have won yesterday, the Patriots would have the first pick, wouldn't they?
The Patriots won too, right?
Right, but if the Titans won, it would have changed the calculus there. I don't think the Titans would have had the first pick.
I think the Titans had to lose and have the Patriots win. So I think that's correct. That could be wrong, but I think that's correct. Okay.
I think so, too. Maybe there's another team involved. I haven't really paid attention to that.
It was Giants, Raiders, Patriots. With a couple weeks. Yeah, and the Titans with like a week or two to go, but I don't know how it changed.
Yeah, I hope Damian Pierce gets more involved in the offense. Yeah, maybe so. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Are the Texans a well-coached team? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Acknowledge me!
ESPN 97.5. We're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Acknowledge your tribal chiefs. It's the Killer Bees. Don't kiss up to us.
Acknowledge me!
Only one of us likes that. You can guess which one. 713-780-ESPN. We'll get to the Texans well-coached thing in a moment, but Keith is on the line. Keith wants to, I think, take me to task. So let's go out to the HRP listener line. Keith, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What is up?
Okay, first, glory be to God in honor of C.J. Stroud. Let's go. And then first, thank you for having me, Mr. Doom and Gloom. I expect this from you. I've been listening a long time. But you should have watched the D'Amico Ryan's interview. It doesn't matter what any of us think. That team is together. Derek Barnett, hey, who cares how they win? Maybe the defense wins scoring touchdowns every game in the playoffs. We don't know, but I was giving up on the season also. But I'm really excited. I don't care who it was. We won an NFL game, and I know the expectations. I'm disappointed as heck about how the season went. But you get hot at the right time. They're due. I think they're going to surprise everybody.
All right.
Okay. Appreciate the call, Keith.
Appreciate the call. I would I like Keith's enthusiasm. Like, I really do. Like, you know, you call me doom and gloom. You probably expected me to, like, go at him. I think that more people should have Keith's enthusiasm. I actually do have Keith's enthusiasm. I can just bottle mine a little bit, I guess. Like, it is a new season, right? It is about it's about getting hot. There are teams in NFL history that have entered the playoffs that you probably felt worse about their regular season than the Texans, and they make a run to a Super Bowl. It has happened.
Giants and Packers both.
It is possible. Like, it is possible. So, like, yeah, like, it's a new season. Turn the page. Have Keith's enthusiasm. Be fired up for the playoff. I'm here for that. I really am. Like, and, you know, maybe I sound doom or gloom and whatever, and probably just the topic we're talking about. But, yes, get fired up for your team. Like, let's not forget that this is only the second season removed from a team who won 11 games in 3 years. Like, you lived through Easterby O'Brien, general manager, David Culley, Lovie Smith. It's okay for you to get excited for your team going to the postseason. Now, I think a lot of that excitement and enthusiasm that Keith has probably been subdued by what they saw this season of the Texans. Not even record. Because if you go to look at everybody's record predictions at the start of the year, except for Brian, who had him win like 15 games, it was 10 wins. The Vegas total was 9.5. They hit the over. So, like, their record, I think, either met or actually, like, surpassed expectation. but it's the context. It's the eye test. It's the offense taking a step back. It's C.J. Stroud statistically taking a step back. It's the offense being in the bottom half of the NFL. So it's not the win-loss record. It's not that you're lifting a banner in the AFC South. I think that all of you should be excited as you enter the postseason, but there is no doubt about it. It's a fact, not an opinion, that that excitement that would normally be there has been subdued by what has been a lackluster, specifically offense.
Yeah, look, I think the slate is clean. That's great. If you're a fan and you're watching this team, the reasons why you should be positive like a lot of fans are is the fact that you have a lot of skill at all the right positions. You have a defense that's really good with pass rushers and a bunch of and one of the best corners in the league. From an offensive perspective, whatever you think of CJ and however you want to label CJ this year, he's a very capable, good quarterback in this league. You've got Nico Collins. You've got a better-than-average running back with Joe Mixon. There's lots of reasons why you can say, could this team figure it out right now? Sure, there's enough talent there that you're like, no, this isn't a team that backed in with a, you know, an 8-8 record of the past or a 9-7 record, you know, won a bad division, and you're like, they got no chance of even winning one game. This team has played well enough in spurts where you're like, there's talent enough where this team could make a run. But the reason why we're being as honest as we are is because of the fact that every time they had a chance to build momentum and put some things together, one side of the ball or the other, or something continued to go wrong, they continued to falter, and it was self-inflicted.
The one thing that I can't make the leap that Keith has made, though, is being excited by beating the Tennessee Titans. It's no. The whole, well, it's an NFL team. Well, it's an NFL team that's going to have the number one pick in the NFL draft that won three games and lost their last six. Yeah. I can't find the excitement there. I'm sorry, Keith.
No, I'm with you. I mean, look, it's the same way when they blew the doors off the Patriots. It's like, do you feel great about that? No, you're supposed to do that. Good teams are supposed to do that to bad teams. It's when you beat a team like the Bills early in the season that you can say, yeah, that was a good team that continued to get better. But when you had a team like the Lions down, or you were supposed to see what you got against the Ravens on Christmas, you didn't do so well. And so that's the reason why it's tempered, and you come back down and go, reality says there's a lot of talent, but it's also been one of those years where it's hard to feel like they can suddenly flip a switch and be, and go on a run.
Yeah, and look, I've been pretty consistent throughout the year that I think the Texans are capable of beating anybody. That doesn't mean I'm picking them to beat everybody. I think that if they played their A-plus game, I think they can beat anybody in the NFL. The problem is, how many times have you seen them play their A-plus game right this year? I'm not sure I've seen it once.
No, and that's the frustration. Yeah, sometimes it was injury-driven when you really could have used, and maybe Aziz would have helped more against a Baltimore running attack. You don't know. But more times than not, you're right. We haven't seen it. I've been harping on it all year about when the offense seems to be playing well, and even within the offense, when the passing game's good, the running game isn't, or vice versa. When the offense plays well, the defense doesn't, or, you know, vice versa. Or they can score in the first half, and they can't score in the second half. There's been too many scenarios that have played out throughout the season where inconsistent is the number one. If I had one word to label this team all season long, it's inconsistent.
See, I would disagree with that. Like, not to be, you know, a pest or whatever. I don't think that their offense has been inconsistent. I think their offense has been below average. I think they've been pretty consistent with who they are offensively. I think on the defensive side you could say that, because there's times where they look like the top defense in the NFL. There are times when they don't look very good defensively. But offensively, I think they've been consistently below average.
That's fair. I think that, you know, early in the season when they had their full complement, when they had Diggs and Nico and Tank and everything, there was a feeling out period where we were trying to figure things out. But I thought that there were times that they showed what they could possibly do passing. At those times, either Mixon was out because he got injured early on after he set the world on fire early on with the way he started the season. I just feel like, and it's all predicated by an offensive line that has been brutally inconsistent and bad, that's where that all starts and ends. I just think that there are times when they can run the ball really well. There have been times when CJ, and again, he's been under pressure all year, but that he showed what he could do if he has time. Yeah, you're, that's fine if you want to say that. I it's a hard argument because of the fact that, again, they've been so inconsistent, but I saw glimpses at least early.
See, I would say they've been more mediocre than inconsistent, but, you know, that's tomato, tomato. Texter, CJ will save Tyreek next year like he has saved D'Amico this year. I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense to bring Tyreek
that money
in.
And taking that whole off the field show with it. I don't need any of that.
I think I'm with you. Texture, the eye test comes from Skip Bayless, and we see that his eye test finally costs. I guess we're doing that all day. That's going to happen all day on the show, I guess, just Texture's talking about the Fox Sports, Skip Bayless, Joy Taylor thing, huh? All right, 713-780-ESPN. We'll talk about what we're going to talk about here in a moment. D'Amico, or the Texans, well coached. Before we do that, though, were you cool with the way that he managed the snaps yesterday?
Yeah, I was fine with it. But look, I was a little surprised that Nico stayed in the game as long as he did, but overall – I was fine with the fact that he just gave them a look. They couldn't do much more than what they did in that opening series. It looked good. You know, CJ's the guy that you just there's nobody else on this roster that you could afford to get hurt. So he did what he could do. He had confidence. He completed his passes. You know, they moved the football down the field. I'm fine with that. And then, you know, Mixon, same thing. Nico maybe stayed a little longer than I would have liked, but fine with me as well. And overall, I thought he managed everything fine.
Yeah, I thought it was good for the most part. The only criticism I had was Nico, and it was clear they were trying to give him 1,000 yards. I don't think that there was a bonus attached to that, though.
I don't think so, because they had the graphic up that said the guys that had bonus things to achieve, and I don't think he was one of them.
So, like, that kind of – who cares if he has 995? Like, is it worth him playing 5 more snaps to get him over 1,000? What's the difference between 995 and 1,006? It kind of comes full circle to the 9-10 win conversation. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't mean a hill of beans. It doesn't change anything, but it just looks better. The feng shui is
better. The big picture from the player's perspective – that's that milestone that every running back and every wide receiver, that 1,000-yard mark, even if there's more games on the schedule now, that 1,000. And then you look at, like, a Mike Evans. And when you do it, and you can say he had, what, 11 in a row now, or 11 or 12 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons.
Don't get me started on
stack
that. That Bush League stuff that they pulled.
I understand. But I'm just saying that's where it could factor in from a player's perspective. I want to make sure I catch, you know, go for 1,000 yards every year.
Okay. I feel some. I'm biting my tongue.
Why?
I'm biting my tongue. Well, I have some thoughts on Mike Evans that I'm saving for later.
Oh, no, that's fine. I'm just saying
for later.
It might be from a player's perspective. We don't know. Again, we don't know what's under in that locker room, but if it was a big deal to him to get to 1,000 yards, then, you know, a lot of teams are going to take note of that and try.
But is it worth it?
Look, that's a different discussion, right?
It is a different. Yeah, I'm out on that. Like,
Saquon, it's a smaller version of the Saquon thing, right? I mean, I'm with you on the fact that if I've got nothing to play for, even in the case of Saquon Barkley against in a meaningless game against a worthless team, there's no way I'm putting one of my most significant player on the field to try and ground and pound 100 and some yards.
Even from the Nico point of view too, though, like. It didn't have a financial incentive. You're leaving him on the field when you've taken all your other starters off the field. Mm-hmm. Well, not all of them, because he left the offensive line out there, which is fine because they need to play well together. Mm-hmm. But you took Stroud out of the game, but you let Nico stay in the game to get 1,000 yards, but it does not have financial incentive.
You know as well as I do, though, that if it does mean something to the player, there's a majority of the organizations that are going to take note of that, and they're going to try to appease that, whether we agree with it or not.
Yeah, no, I you're right, but I don't agree with it.
Right.
I think it's a little bit of a flaw.
It's a risk.
For sure. And it's not, and I don't think the reward's all that great. It's individual accolade without financial incentive. Like 994 yards versus 1,006. Obviously, 1,006 looks better, but is it worth jeopardizing him? Fortunately, he didn't get hurt, and it's not a big deal. Texture says D Hop needed one touchdown to get 500K. They benched him. There you go. Team
Cooper
and
Rush.
We over me. Keith from L.A., what's wrong with spreading a little bit of joy to everybody? Cooper Rush missed his too. Jerry said, I'm not paying you. We knew that was coming from Jerry. A team sometimes got to be about the players. Well, Andy Reid wasn't.
On the flip side, did you see in Seattle what Smith was able to do, Geno?
With the yards?
He
passing
had
three
bonuses to achieve, each one of them worth $2 million, and he got all three.
Just insane. $6 million
payday. $6 million Sunday. Wow.
Have a day, Geno Smith.
No doubt. And it sucks they missed the playoffs, but hey, he ain't too mad when he got $6 million more.
Has he changed your opinion on him yet?
No.
No? You're still out?
Yeah, no.
Still out on Geno? All right. Are the Texans well coached? 713-780-3776. It's the B's, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool,
brother.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Texter says it's a risk, but similar to corporate offices, we want our employers to be about employees. Texter, are you making $24 million? Just wondering. I see your point, and I understand your point. Like, make it about your employees, lift up your employees, have nice snacks in the kitchen, make sure the coffee's fresh, make sure the drinks are good, give them a crisp. I get it. Like, employee morale is massive. That's why I'm so thankful for the suits upstairs here at ESPN 97.5 and Gal Media. But they also pay him handsomely. Like, they pay him a lot of money to be like, hey, Nico, are you cool not getting to 1,000? Are you cool being stuck at 998? Just wondering. $24 million, what do you say? Like, I don't know if it's kind of, I don't know if it's an apples to apples comparison comparing it to, like, some office building in Houston in oil and gas. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you also see, you know, in sports, this happens all the time. Like, the triple-double guys, when, you know, a team's up big in a basketball game, but yet it means something to the player to get a triple-double, and the organization's going to do them a solid and wait till they get whatever, you know, rebound or steal or point they need.
Yeah, but getting a rebound isn't the same as catching a pass over the middle.
Well, but it depends on where the pass is, right? But if they're going to call a play on an out route where there's no defender that's going to rip his head off and he could get the yardage that he needs and we know it means something to him, look, all that stuff matters when you get into contract negotiations.
No one's denying that. No one's denying that. We all agree with that. We're just wondering if it's like, and we're spending way too much. I really don't care that much. I really don't care. Like, we're making a mountain out of a molehill here. I personally would have had him out there. Do I care a whole lot? Did I notice? Yes. Do I care a ton? Not really. I'm just kind of counter, you know, arguing these people.
I mean, it was even almost overkill, too much for me. But did you see the way I get Mike Evans celebrating? It's $3 million, but the bench lost their minds too, and they got all juiced for it to where it's a good look for the organization, though it's costly.
All right, fine, I'm just gonna go ahead and get into this. How if you're the New Orleans Saints, are you cool with that? How are you, like, and I understand it was $3 million. I understand that Mike Evans continues this 1,000-yard streak, although it's gimmicky now. It's now a Make-A-Wish 1,000-yard campaign. They're throwing the football when they should be putting it on a knee. Bill Romanowski would never allow this stuff. Ronnie Lott would never allow this stuff. And Dominic Sue would never allow this stuff. You know who else wouldn't allow this? Greg Williams. Greg Williams was giving players – well, they didn't give him money. They collected a pool and then gave it to players who injured other players. But Greg Williams had the whole bounty gate in New Orleans. And now in New Orleans, you're just going to be cool with allowing a dude to get a Make-A-Wish 1,000-yard season? That annoyed me. It annoyed me so much.
Look, rightfully so. There's you know, and everybody's going to say, oh, it's the get-off-my-lawn versus the whole modern football where all players are players first, and they're as long as it wasn't a score in their face, that it was just for him to get that incentive and it didn't cost them, you know, being embarrassed by being down more points, then a lot of players are going to be cool with it. And it's just how you look at those things, because you're right, you know, it's old school baseball versus, you know, the bat flip. It's just how everybody perceives it. From a coaching staff, there's probably coaches that really were pissed off about it. I think there's probably players that were like, that was cool. Even if they're on the Saints, they go, I understand it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's the wussification of sports. It's the wussification. Greg Williams is rolling over his grave watching that yesterday. What would Greg Williams do? If Mike Evans was out there with 40 seconds to play, no business throwing the ball. Saints are not taking a timeout. It's an obvious kneel-down situation. They're out there throwing the ball to get a Make-A-Wish $3 million, a Make-A-Wish 1,000-yard season. Greg Williams would have taken Mike Evans' head off. Greg Williams would have destroyed Baker Mayfield in the backfield. It's the wussification of sports. We're seeing this each and every week, and I don't like it. I don't like it. I like football to be tough. I like football to be physical. I don't like Bush League stuff. I don't like Make-A-Wish 1,000-yard seasons. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of gifting Albert Pujols and Miguel Cabrera an all-star appearance, and now we're going to put that on their resume. Oh, they're a 14-time all-stars. No, they're really 13, but they got a Make-A-Wish. It's the same thing with Mike Evans. Mike Evans wasn't a 1,000-yard receiver. He had it gifted to him.
But you're a fan of the bat flip, aren't you?
I'm okay showing people up. That's the difference. It's different than, like,
is it?
I think a bat flip is different than Bush League stealing a base when you're up by 10 runs. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I think it's very different. Now, also, understand that if you're going to bat flip, You also have to understand you're probably going to get one high and in next time up. And I'm okay with both of those things. I'm okay with both of those things. I think that's anti-wussification
of
sports. So
then the Bucs could be okay with the fact that we're going to get Mike Evans his milestone and have to understand that if he gets, he's going to get a cheap shot as part of it. That's part of it.
Sure, it is. It is. But where were the Saints? Where were the old Greg Williams? They were nowhere to be found. And that disappointed me. That disappointed me. I'm more upset with the Saints than I am the Bucs, for what it's worth. I get chasing $3 million. That's a big deal. I get that. I would chase $300. I would chase three. But I want the defensive team to let the offense know they're not very happy with it. I'm more disappointed in them than I am the Bucs. This was a once proud organization that had Greg Williams as their defensive coordinator that was willing to go to any measure to win. And now we're just allowing Make-A-Wish 1,000-yard seasons. It makes me sick.
Yeah, I mean, but again, the Saints were already in Cancun. I think that they had already gone fishing, and you know, their head coach was fired weeks ago, and they knew they weren't going to the playoffs, and so be it.
Are you okay with Strahan's sack record? No, it's a criminal. It's travesty. And I love the fact who was the guy who held it before, the Giant. I don't remember his name. And the Gastineau, and he had this little clip where he's confronting Brett Favre. That's awesome. That's awesome. I want somebody, like, I don't think Mike Evans is going to get to Jerry Rice's record, because I think Evans yesterday got to 11. Mm-hmm. I think Jerry Rice's record's 14. I don't think that Mike Evans gets there. But if Mike Evans breaks Jerry Rice's record for 15 straight 1,000-yard seasons after what happened yesterday, I hope Jerry Rice goes to Galveston and gives Mike Evans his 2 cents.
Look, I went back and watched it. I watched the documentary after the Gastineau.
Oh, did you already watch it?
Yeah, and I remembered it at the time going, as a Packer fan, watching it happen, going, that was Bush League. Like, he basically gave his buddy the sack. It wasn't as egregious as I remembered it, but at the same time, this is when we start talking about how much it means to a given player from an individual standpoint. I understand where Gastineau's coming from, where that was basically in a box with a ribbon on it given to Strahan.
Yeah. So was the Mike Evans catch yesterday.
Well, I mean, look, the argument could be the Saints still could have defended it to make sure he didn't get it, or like you said, press coverage and then make sure he doesn't get it if it mattered that much to him.
Right, but the Brett Favre argument could be just drop back and throw the ball.
Yeah, I don't remember where that happened in the course of the game because
I think it was like the last play.
No, I don't believe it was that late in the game, but nonetheless, I still believe he laid down.
I'll have to look to see when it was, because I think it was pretty late in the game.
I'm gonna look as well, because,
and I think it was also one of those games where, like, they were getting everybody out.
I think it was meaningless at that point. I think you're right in the fact that, you know, that it didn't matter anything to either team at that point. But I just remember that I at the time I felt like it, and I can understand Gastineau's point of view. Like, that's a record that, you know, you're long. All the players talk about how difficult it is to walk away from the game. But, like, even Eric Dickerson, at least with the honesty to say, I don't want Saquon to break my record. I mean, that record, he's hanging on to it, and he's proud of it, and he wants to be that guy. I mean, I think players have pride and egos, and I understand Gastineau's point of view for sure.
Yeah, so you understand my point of view, because I think I'm a pea in Gastineau's pod. Little fake records. All right, 713-780-ESPN. I promise we'll get to this next. Are the Texans well coached? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN.
97.5. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.